Welcome to For the Sake of Your Eyes on Connect FM, a time that we spend with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Dubois Vision Clinic, covering topics that deal with the health of your eyes. And today the topic is dry eye syndrome and how it's treated. Hi there, Dr. Wendy.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us once again. So dry eye syndrome is something that a lot of people deal with, and we hear about it oftentimes. How are some of the ways that dry eye syndrome can be dealt with?
Well, punctal plugs are an effective treatment option for many patients with dry eye syndrome, but they may also be used in a variety of other ways to facilitate improved ocular health. When we hear about punctal plugs, the first thing that comes to mind is dry eye treatment. Although frequently used for this purpose, there are several other conditions in which they can be implemented in your treatment plan. Punctal occlusion may enhance the effects of topical medications, help catalyze postoperative healing, and improve contact lens wear. Today, we'll review how punctal occlusion may be used to treat not only dry eye syndrome, but other ocular surface conditions. Also, we'll discuss several non-traditional uses for occlusion that may greatly enhance your overall ocular health and comfort.
Okay. Well, before we get to those non-traditional uses for occlusion, could you tell us about the traditional use for occlusion?
Sure. The most common indication for punctal occlusion is dry eye syndrome. Now, the punctum is the opening to the tear duct. So you have a round hole in the upper lid and the lower lid, and they're called the punctal areas or the puncta.
All right.
And so what we do is we put a little plug in there. So it's like pulling the stopper in the drain and holding a basin of water.
Oh,
but
right.
In this case, we're holding a basin of tears.
Okay.
So traditionally with dry eye syndrome, the eye is dry because either one of the layers is out of balance in the tears. There's three layers of tears: the watery layer, the oily layer, and the mucus layer. Now, the watery layer comes from a gland underneath the eyebrow, and it's called the lacrimal gland. And it's made out of the same tissue as the joints. So if somebody has arthritis, tendonitis, bursitis, something that is an inflammatory condition, it affects that gland. So there's less watery layer.
Yeah.
The mucus and the oily glands have vertical ducts in the lids, and they escape at the end of the lid or at the lashes. So when you have dry eye syndrome, you have grittiness, scratchiness, your eyelids seem to stick together, just uncomfortableness in the eyes.
Sure.
So by putting a punctal plug in a traditional way, it holds the tears in the lower lid, and that decreases the symptoms of burning, itching, redness, photophobia, light sensitivity, and reduced visual acuity. Multiple studies have shown that nearly 5 million Americans age 50 or older are affected significantly by dry eye syndrome. Also, millions more Americans experience varying less severe dry eye symptoms. Now, there are many underlying risk factors for dry eye, including age, being female, systemic diseases, medications, environmental considerations, like allergies like we're having now, or air conditioning, having a fan. In the car, when you put the heat on, defrost comes out too, or the defrost blows right in your eyes, dries the tears. And also you can have what's called Sjögren's syndrome, and that's an aqueous deficient problem, meaning you have less watery layer. And you see the commercials on TV now, how they treat thyroid eye disease. Well, they have treatments, more treatments for Sjögren's syndrome now too, which is dry eye, dry mouth, and arthritis. Lacrimal gland insufficiency, lacrimal duct obstruction, and reflex hyposecretion. Now, reflex hyposecretion is when you have a reflex of the tears that start to run and run. So it sounds crazy that your eye is dry, but all of a sudden it's wet. And people don't understand that, but your eye produces extra tears to try to compensate. But those tears are not efficient. And you can have evaporation problems, including meibomian gland dysfunction, which are the ones that produce the mucus. And right now with allergies, a lot of people are having meibomian gland dysfunction where you get a plug of mucus at the end of the duct of the gland and it causes a sty. And they're very, very painful. You feel them when you blink. And that goes along with that. You can have eyelid aperture disorders, meaning that the lids don't close the way they should. Like in someone who's had Bell's palsy,
yes,
the one lid won't close good, or it'll stay open when they're sleeping, and that evaporates the tears and dries the eye out. Lid grobe incongruity, meaning that the lid doesn't close properly because there's a difference in how the eye is shaped. Blink disorders and ocular surface irregularities. So the ocular surface irregularities can be something going on in the cornea, the clear part of the color over the colored part of the eye. It's usually pretty smooth, but it can get rough and bumpy in a lot of situations. And in dry eye, you can have what we call staining, which when we put a dye in, we can see those irregularities. And so with that staining, we can tell where it's irregular. But your lid has to go over that, and it can't. The tears can't go over the rough, bumpy areas.
Right,
it causes dryness. Sure. But also, as we've talked before, working on a computer, you tend to stare, and you don't blink as much.
Yeah, and that can cause a problem as well. And I guess probably the biggest symptom is the discomfort. Right?
Yes, yes. And there's lots of things that we can do on the surface. A lot of people can use different artificial tears. And there's a lot of artificial tears out there, like Tears Naturelle and ones that work for just the watery layer. Now we have ones that work for the mucus and the oil, or all three together.
I see.
And the ones that work for the mucus and the oil are thicker. And when they're thicker, they stay in contact with the eye longer, but they blur your vision for about 5 minutes after you put them in. The ones that help with the watery layer, you'll have to keep using them over and over. So if you use a gel drop or one that's a thicker drop, it stays in contact that you don't need to use as many drops.
Okay. Tell us about how dry eye syndrome is properly diagnosed.
Well, there's several things that we can do, and one is called a tear film breakup time. So that dye that I was talking about, we put it in the eye, and we count how long it takes for a black spot or the tears to break up. And if it's under a certain level, definitely there's a deficiency in the tears. We also do Schirmer testing, and that's when we have a little thing that we hook on the lower lid, and it actually measures the tears soak the strip, and it measures how the available amount of tears.
Okay.
Then we have corneal topography, where we take a picture of the front of the eye and see, like a topography map of the woods, you see the contour of it. And lissamine green is another dye that we put in, or fluorescein dye testing. And tear film osmolarity can be done too, and that's working on the evaporation. And we can do several things, working with bandage contacts too to help, because that makes a new surface for them. So there are a lot of ways to treat dry eye, but like you said, the symptoms are the problem. It's very irritating. If people wear contacts, certain materials will dry faster than others.
Yeah. Now, in doing that testing to determine whether it is dry eye syndrome, what are the steps that you take if you find that your patient has inflammation?
Well, with inflammation, that causes problems along with the production of tears. And so we take a look and see along the lid, edge of the lid. Sometimes they will have, instead of being smooth across the surface, they'll have dips and bumps. And that's that incongruous stuff too that we were talking about. So that can show us right away that they have a problem that creates dry eye. We also take a look for any, you can have different mites along the lid. But a lot of times we use cyclosporin to treat those patients. And that's what the one drop that's out that they use. It's Restasis.
Okay.
But cyclosporin is an antibiotic, but it helps cut down that inflammation. We also will do a trial with a low-grade steroid.
Okay.
And if we put that in and it improves the comfort, we know again that it's dry eye, and that's a way to treat it.
Sure.
Too.
Now, Dr. Wendy, we're going to talk about some of the severity levels of dry eye syndrome in just a moment, but we need to take a break. We'll be right back on For the Sake of Your Eyes.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Vision directly affects how you learn. 80% of all learning during a child's early school years is obtained through vision. 10% of all preschoolers and 25% of kids in kindergarten through sixth grade have vision deficiencies. Many of them are undetected because few children receive comprehensive eye exams. School screenings only pick up 5% of all vision problems. Don't delay. Make an appointment for your child today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020.
Today, the topic is dry eye syndrome and the way that it's treated. We're with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic, and this is For the Sake of Your Eyes. Dr. Wendy, we're just about to talk about the different severity levels of dry eye syndrome in patients. Could you get into some of those details?
Yes. The first level of severity is mild to moderate signs and no symptoms. And recommended treatment includes patient education and artificial tears. Level two is moderate to severe symptoms, where there are tear film signs, where we see staining and the tears evaporating. We see visual signs, too, because the vision decreases. If the cornea is not wet properly, then the vision decreases. And the recommended treatment includes preservative-free artificial tears. They're the ones that come in the little containers that you twist the top off.
Yes.
Some preservatives actually make dry eye worse, and that's why they have these preservative-free ones.
Mm-hmm.
You can use gel drops, ointments. Ointments you would use at night, because at night your eyes tear, or don't tear. Mm-hmm. In the morning, they tear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So by putting the ointment in, that keeps it moist all night long. Now, for some people, that keeps them blurred for a while in the morning.
Yeah.
Other people, it works terrific. But it does goo your eye up, so you don't want to put it in the daytime or in with contacts. And you can use nutritional supplements, cyclosporin A or Restasis, and topical steroids. Most patients come to the office when they reach level two because those symptoms are more aggravating. Level three is severe symptoms marked by corneal superficial punctate keratitis. Now, that sounds like a mouthful, but what that means is that there are superficial dots in the cornea, rough areas that are raised up, and they're irritating the cornea, but then the lid has to rub over that, and it rubs over those spots. But also, as we talked before, the tears have to go over a smooth surface, and they go up and down the hills and valleys, and that dries the eye. So the options here for treatment are tetracycline and punctal plugs. And the severe level dry for the dry eye syndrome, they have severe symptoms, and the symptoms get worse over time. And many patients who suffer from dry eye symptoms have success with topical artificial tears and anti-inflammatories like a steroid, a low-grade steroid, as well as omega-3 fatty acid supplementation. Whether they're using medications short or long term, ocular surface disease is chronic, and it goes along with other things. And certain medications you take can cause problems with the tears too. And we have to effectively treat dry eye syndrome with the various medications, and punctal occlusion is often a forgotten tool, but it works very, very well.
All right.
So level four treatments include anti-inflammatory therapy with low-grade steroids, oral cyclosporin, which is Restasis, moisture goggles, which are glasses that have a chamber on them to hold the moisture in, and cautery of the punctum.
Dr. Wendy's been telling us about the traditional use for punctal occlusion in treating dry eye syndrome, and we'll be back after this next break, and she will tell us about some non-traditional uses for punctal occlusion.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Driving at night is more demanding and stressful than daytime driving. Make sure that your eyes are examined regularly and wear up-to-date glasses or contacts. Keep the windshield clean inside and out, and make sure your car lights are clean and working properly. Glare during night driving especially affects older drivers. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020.
This is For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic. covering the topic today of dry eye syndrome. And now, Dr. Wendy, tell us about non-traditional uses for punctal occlusion.
Well, punctal occlusion, what it does is it treats the dry eye, but it's because the normal tear volume and balance are disrupted. So the punctal plugs are little, we have collagen ones that we put in first that dissolve. So we do a test with those to see if it's going to help. And within a week or two, their symptoms will come back. So then we put a permanent one in, which is usually silicone. And the punctal plugs address the patient's noncompliance and issues where they don't take their medication. And so it helps hold the medication that they need for the eye condition that they have. And factors that influence patient compliance is cost of medication, dosing schedule, inability to take drops or medication, forgetfulness, poor understanding of the condition, and insufficient trust in their doctors. And a lot of times these are glaucoma patients too. No matter the reason, poor compliance and adherence to our recommendations can have a significant impact on the final outcome of what we're treating. Simpler, less frequenting dosing results in better compliance, but plugs are not dependent on patient adherence or them remembering to put the drop in. The plug helps eliminate the compliance issue by reducing the need for consistent artificial tear installation, or in a case of glaucoma and other things, it makes sure that they get the amount that they need. And a lot of patients who are older have arthritis and have a hard time squeezing the bottle.
Sure.
But they also have a hard time hitting their eye, and yeah, they get very nervous because they know they're going to miss and they don't want to do it, so they avoid it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we can do. We can help with people who have poor compliance.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, but I'm sure that educating the patient is a big part of going through that process.
It is, and we try to make things easier for people.
Okay. So, Dr. Wendy, tell us about patients that wear contact lenses and also are dealing with dry eye syndrome, some of the factors there.
Yeah, patient discomfort is a leading cause for contact lens dropout. They stop wearing their lenses, even though they like wearing lenses. And it's compounded with poor lens care compliance. Discomfort can make successful management of the contact lens wearer almost impossible. So I have a lot of patients who come in and say, I tried contacts, but they got so dry I couldn't stand them. Mm. So multiple factors can help in all optimal contact lens wear. And definitely, we have to have proper lens care. So we have to educate them on how to care for the lenses. We have to have good compliance. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was a student, I did an externship in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a contact lens specialist. And he became the vice president of Vistacon, which makes AccuView contacts. Mm-hmm. And so this one patient came in, and I looked with a microscope at his contacts. And there were these tall things all over his contacts sticking out.
Yeah.
And here what they were bacterial colonies because he hadn't taken his contacts out in a year and a half.
Oh my.
So, you know, you have to have compliance and contacts.
Sure.
And so the best way to optimize contact lens success is to reevaluate the ocular surface before we fit them to see if there are any signs of symptoms of ocular disease, and we treat that accordingly. But also, the newer contact lenses have different materials. The silicone does not dry out as easily as the older plastics did. Mm-hmm. So we fit people with different types of contact lenses that have different amounts of water in them, and some need less water, some need more. Now, I had a few patients with dry eye that we treated them with contacts as bandages because without the contact in, their eyes were irritated and very, very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And they got very red and they'd water and they were just miserable. So we would put contacts in. We'd have them wear a pair during the day and wear a pair at night.
Hmm.
So there's different ways to treat, but the punctal plugs, as we talked, we typically put them in the lower lid first. And then if we need to, we put them in the upper lid too. But the lower lid, it holds a reservoir of tears, and that helps. So if people are having problems with contact lenses because of dryness and we can't get a material that makes them most comfortable, then we resort to punctal occlusion.
Okay. What about those that have acute ocular conditions?
Well, some patients will come in and they have signs and symptoms that vary, but depending on how the eye looks, we may include topical lubricants, antibiotics, steroids, and combination medicines that have antibiotics and steroids. So people who have problems with the cornea, they can have scratches. There's a condition called Fuchs dystrophy, where you get fluid between the layers. People who have scratches, we used to patch them, but we put a contact lens in now. But if that doesn't heal it, because there's a problem called recurrent corneal erosion, that after you get it healed, the cells of the cornea may not grow back together in the perfect meshwork. They may grow back in a weird way, and that leaves pockets. Mm-hmm. Fluid gets in there, and when you open your eyes in the morning, the lid will pull those new cells off. Mm. So we can treat them by putting bandage contact lenses in, but if that doesn't work, then we'll use the punctal occlusion.
All right. Let's talk about one more here, Dr. Wendy, and in the treatment of dry eye syndrome, those with glaucoma.
The ones who have glaucoma, the punctal occlusion benefits them by increasing the penetration and the efficacy of the glaucoma-lowering medications. And putting the plugs in may also decrease the systemic absorption of glaucoma medications, such as beta blockers. And that can give you reduced or unwanted side effects. And the thing is, with glaucoma, we want to have a certain level of effectiveness of the drops so that their pressure doesn't go up. And sometimes putting the punctal plug in will take care of that. Mm. And that, again, we can try that first with a temporary plug, the collagen one that dissolves. But it makes treating systemic diseases and other problems much, much better by using the punctal plugs.
Sure. An interesting discussion today about dry eye syndrome and the punctal plugs that are used to treat that, with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the DuBois Vision Clinic. Dr. Wendy, before we close up shop here, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you for more information or an appointment.
They can call the office at 814-371-2020, and you can leave a message, and we'll get back to you if we're not readily available at the time you call. My office is at 90 Beaver Drive at the stop sign on Beaver Drive, and you go to the back building, and it has a big letter D as in dog, and there's a glass door. You go in the glass door, and my office is the first office on the right.
Well, super. Thank you for tuning in to For the Sake of Your Eyes this week with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt. Dr. Wendy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.